It can be easy to miss stuff, can't we? It can be really easy to miss what's going on. And I guess as we go into 2022, I don't want to miss what God is wanting to do in my life or the life of Godston Baptist Church, which means in your lives as well. Because although God does stuff individually, we're collective, aren't we? We're a family and we're asking God to do stuff. And I don't want to miss it. And I hope you don't either. And so I just want to talk briefly today about our eyes and the things that we can see. And the Bible actually says quite a lot about our eyes. And I don't know if you make New Year resolutions. I kind of stopped doing it because I was so rubbish at keeping my New Year resolution that I thought, what's the point of doing it? Although I do intend to try and get a little bit fit this morning, but please don't hold me to account on that. I will try, but who knows? We'll see. But I wonder maybe we can add this idea of how we're going to use our eyes in 2022, as our kind of resolution for this year. So I wanted to share a few Bible verses with you that are all from the book of Psalms. So it's really easy to remember, hopefully. And the first one is Psalm 119, verse 18. And it says, "Open my eyes to see the wonderful truths in your instruction." It may seem really, really obvious when we're talking about eyes to say this, but it starts with us opening our eyes. I guess, though, we're not talking physically opening our eyes. We're talking spiritually opening our eyes. That we might, whether we read the Bible or listen to the Bible, hear God's word and his wonderful instructions speaking truth into our lives. That has to be the starting point. And we, you know, most of us here will have heard sermons and talks and people going on about reading the Bible thousands of times, I am sure. But you see, this is God speaking to us. And as we're reading the Bibles, asking God, will you reveal new truths to us? Would you speak to us directly about what it is that you want us to see? To open our eyes in a way that not only do we see, but we also sense what God is doing. And sometimes we can see that in the physical, because sometimes God uses the physical to speak to us in a spiritual way. There's a pot in the back meeting room, which I assume, I'm making a big assumption here, this is one of Joe's things. I'm assuming, Joe, if it's not. And what is that Japanese thing called again? Where?
Kashugi art.
And it's where broken pots or bowls are fixed using gold. And so the gold, sort of melted gold, then holds the pots together. And suddenly what was a broken pot now isn't broken and is actually more valuable because now it has gold running through it. And suddenly what was useless has suddenly become priceless. God can use the physical to speak to in a spiritual. And when I got married to Gemma, one of the members at Pearly Baptist Church gave me a picture of one of these Japanese bowls and said, "Mark, this is your life." God, it really hit me hard that in my brokenness, suddenly God was doing something new and made something new. And I want that to be the truth for us here in this church, that in our brokenness, we allow God to make us something beautiful. But it starts by opening our eyes to see the truths in his word. That's part of the process that we begin to to see his instructions, to live out the things that he is asking us to do. A little bit further on in Psalm 119, it says this from verse 37. Turn my eyes away from worthless things. Preserve my life according to your word. It begs the question, what do you look at? I had a wonderful moment just before Christmas when we shared a lovely moment, and I'll come back to that in a minute, actually. I'll come back to it. I sometimes have a habit of going on my mobile phone and looking at absolute rubbish. I've just been told Roger does the same by Linda. I might go on YouTube or on Facebook and a video pops up and I don't know, I'm watching something. And after about, some of these things last about 10 minutes because they want more views. And after about 10 minutes, I'm like, why am I watching this? Like, why am I watching someone build something out of matchsticks? Or, you know, why am I watching a cat fall off a table about 100 times? It gets to the point where there's nothing necessarily wrong with these videos, but I just think, why am I watching this? Really?
Research.
The thing is, we can call it what we like, but the reality is, ultimately, it becomes a bit of a waste of time. And there is so much stuff to visually stimulate us. Let me go back. Me and Elizabeth went to visit Norma, who some of you may know, just before Christmas. And I'm sure you I haven't checked this with you, have I, Liz? But obviously, Liz's eyesight isn't all that it once was. And Norma is completely blind. And I had the most beautiful time of watching Liz and Norma come together, who hadn't seen each other for a few years, and said, oh, how lovely it is to see you. And then they both said, well, neither of us can see you. Neither of us can see each other. And the thing was, over the course of our conversation together, they kept saying, oh, it's so nice to see you. And then we're like, even though I can't see you. And it was this great thing of, you see, it wasn't that they were seeing each other physically. It was the being with each other that was important. And I sometimes think I just need to turn my eyes away from the worthless stuff and put my eyes back on Jesus sometimes. Well, all the time, but you know what I mean. I want that beautiful moment where I might not physically be seeing Jesus, but I know that he's there and I know that he's with me. But there's so much stuff to draw our attention away. And I urge you to pray for our young people because I think it affects them more than any of us, really. Social media has got such a grip. And don't hear me wrong, because this stuff isn't, it's like all things that are, things can be used for good or they can be used for bad, can't they? And it's not like, I don't believe social media is evil in any way at all. Obviously there's bad stuff that happens on it. But when anything takes us away from our relationship with God or becomes more of a priority, that's when it becomes a problem. And our eyes are drawn to so many things. I'm a bit more old school where my eyes are drawn more towards the television. And I love watching television. I've got everything. Netflix, you know, Disney Plus, normal TV, Sky TV. Just, you know, when I was growing up, like most of us, you had three or four channels. Now it's endless, isn't it? But it's not just social media or TV. It might be that our eyes are drawn towards books or perhaps films or watching sport. And again, none of those things are wrong at all. In fact, I encourage it. But if it begins to draw us away, then these things are beginning to take over our life. And actually, we need to preserve our life and decide, you know, there's a time to look at, watch sport or watch social media or whatever, read certain books or whatever it might be. But our first love always needs to be Jesus. It's him that we need to spend time with. And the odd thing is we could spend time with Jesus reading about him or watching something about him. But we're encouraged to turn our eyes away from the worthless things. Psalm 123, verse 1 says this, just the second part of it. It says, I lift my eyes to you, O God, enthroned in heaven. We know that God is all around, but we often perceive God to be upwards, don't we? It's a general thing. And one of the reasons why we do that is because the Bible encourages us to do it as well. And we're encouraged to lift our eyes up to God in heaven. And maybe the truth for you and for me is in the last few years, that's kind of been hard because there's been much heartache. Lots of stuff has happened and been said and been done, and the world is very different and is changing, as it appears, all the time, faster than we can keep up with at the moment. But whatever has happened, we need to look to the Lord. We need to lift our eyes up to God. And this isn't shallow optimism. It's not even blind faith. It's realizing that God Almighty is higher and more powerful than all of this. I used to have a friend who was very, I'm still friends with him. We just don't see each other too often now, different parts of the country, but he was always head down, always. And he was a Christian, and I challenged him one day and I said, you're always glass half empty. You're always head down. I said, you've got a lot to look up to. There's lots going on. And we prayed together, and I think something clicked in him. It was like eventually I saw over the weeks that followed, his head was up, and it was like he was a different person suddenly. Something lifted off him as he lifted his head. And it wasn't, I just encouraged it. It was obviously wasn't me. God suddenly did something significant in him. And he was able to start to see again forwards of what God was doing. You see, to lift up our eyes is to look to him and to acknowledge Jesus in all things, is to refocus our eyes on him, the one who knows us and loves us more than anyone else. It's turning our eyes from one thing and lifting them to another. And when we lift our eyes, like my friend who was also called Mark, to lift your eyes up, it involves lifting your head also. And we begin to be able to see all around rather than just downwards. So we're encouraged to open our eyes, to turn our eyes, to lift our eyes. And I want to just finish with two verses, but those three are things, these three verses we've just looked at are the ones which encourage us how we need to use our eyes. But how does God use his eyes? Well, here's two verses. This is Psalm 33. This is how God uses his eyes. He says, "The Lord looks down from heaven and sees the whole human race. From his throne he observes all who live on earth. He made their hearts, so he understands everything they do." If you've had children, when you've got young children, I've played hide and seek with my young children, and kids are rubbish at hide and seek, aren't they? They're just not quiet. But even as a parent, when you're playing hide and seek, you still always have one eye just in case they've not gone anywhere they shouldn't. I remember playing hide and seek once with my son Joel in the garden, and I thought I'd sort of clocked where he had gone. He must have only been, I don't know, five or something. And I could not find him anywhere. And then I began to panic, thinking, oh no, he's opened the gate and he's gone out on the road and all of this. And I was shouting for him and I was like, right, Joel, the game has finished now. And eventually I found him hiding in the shed behind something that I hadn't looked very carefully at. And obviously the relief was, whew, I found him. And he was just laughing at me. I just love the image of God looking down at us. That God loves to actually look at us. And not in a creepy way, because in our human society now, unfortunately, these words sound creepy, but God's watching us. And he cares for us. And he sees us. And he's allowing us to do what we're doing. And I always think when God sees us doing good, he's always smiling at us. Because he's thinking, that's my daughter, that's my son. And they're doing what I am, because I am good. They're reflecting how I've made them to be. You see, not only does he watch us and care for us and he sees us, and he not only does he look down on us, but as we know, because just 8 days ago we celebrated it, he doesn't just look down at us, he came down to live among us as well and to be with us. And I'm always amazed when the wise men came, or the magi came to see Jesus. These well-educated, higher-class people. The first thing they did at seeing the baby Jesus was worship him. Was worship him. Was bow down before him. And the truth is, God loves to see what we are up to. He loves to be involved in our lives. He loves it when we talk to him, when we include him in the things that interest us. And he loves it when we look at him and when we look to him. And I want to end with these words from Psalm 17, verse 8. "Keep me as the apple of your eye. Hide me in the shadow of your wings." Does anyone know what this phrase, apple of your eye, means? Yes, Joe, do you know?
It's in your eyes, it looks like an apple.
Not quite, but it might do. That might be one of the explanations. But if you're sitting next to someone who you're happy to get quite close to, if you stare into their eyes, eventually you will see your reflection in their pupil. Give it a try if you feel comfortable to. No, I won't ask Emma to do that. But But when you're alone with your partner, perhaps, feel free to stare into their eyes and you will eventually see their reflection. And when you see your reflection in their pupil, apparently that is what the apple of their eye means. You see, God wants to be so close to you that he's reflected in you. God cherishes you so much that he sees you as the apple of his eye. And he wants to be yours as well. Oh, how much do I want that? And I hope you do as well. To be so close to Jesus that you're reflecting him. You see, when we're this close, we can be secure in him. We're in the safety of his wings, his care, his love, his peace. God looks upon us with love and compassion so deep. Not only did he come down, but as we know, he died for us as well. With Jesus as the apple of our eye, you know, people might just begin to see Jesus in us. It's exactly what you were saying earlier, Joe. And as people begin to do that, well, we begin to see what God is doing in us as well, and in his church here in Godston. So I encourage us to open our eyes, to turn our eyes, to lift our eyes to him, and to be so near to him that we're the apple of his eye, that people will see Jesus in us. Who knows what God's going to do other than God this year? Unless he tells us, which I hope he will, and throughout this year, individually and as a church, I'm excited to see what God wants to do in us. And I hope you are as well. And we're going to be trying to think through what we're about more this year as a church. How the people of Godston can see Jesus in us more and more and more. And that they might come to know him. Let's just bow our heads just for a moment. I'm going to ask Di just to come up and we're going to sing our final song. You don't have to close your eyes. We've been talking about opening our eyes. It feels right sometimes to close them. But Lord, our response this morning starts with us as soon as we leave this building. Would you help us to respond to all that you've said in your word this morning? We give our eyes, our vision, our spiritual awareness, our whole selves to you that we might see and not miss what you want to do in us and through us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Let's stand together.